Welcome to the RRBF podcast. In Dutch, it's called The Steen. In English, it's called, of course, The Stone. These podcast episodes are made possible by Hollis. We made these episodes during the MIPIM in Cannes at a sunny rooftop bar, and we interviewed a couple of people from the industry about what is going on at MIPIM, what is going on in their business. We talked about, of course, ESG. We had a couple of amazing sessions, so I hope you will enjoy all episodes that we recorded together with Hollis. Enjoy listening. Well, here we are at the Hollis rooftop. It's nice. It's nice to be here. Mark Hampson, you're from Hollis?
I am, Walter, I've lost track of the amount of times I've been here, actually, probably over 10 years, but it's great to be back. Sun's shining.
Can't be better.
We can't be better, no.
No. It's we're just making this podcast here at your rooftop. Who is with you today in the podcast?
Oh, today I've got he's a close neighbour, and he's a very good architect. Dan Campbell is one of the owners of Stephen Trevelyan. They're a well-known architect in London who do a lot of retrofit work with the likes of Grosvenor, Derwent, and he's in terms of when architects come to refurbish buildings, he's there.
Thank you.
that's the best
nicest thing you've said about me. I'm glad we're on a podcast.
Well, tell us a little bit. What do you do as an architect? You really do only retrofitting?
No. We historically have done a lot of retrofit work, and increasingly we're doing more now for various different reasons. We're based in London. The vast majority of our work is in London. We work in both residential and office, principally. They're always got a bit of a mix of use. And because of the nature of London, there's always been a lot of buildings to refurbish and retrofit, and so we've historically done that. Increasingly now, though, there's a huge political persuasion and sustainability agenda to refurbishing buildings. So that's what we've just been talking about.
Yeah, what was the panel about, Mark?
So today we wanted to cover repurposing, and we wanted to make sure it was real practical insights into not just one sector, but lots of sectors. So today we looked at, there's a classic department store in London that was converted retail to mixed use, which Dan was involved with. We've looked at an office to life science. We've also looked at we're finding a lot of period buildings that are being converted to kind of modern uses like a hotel.
Yeah.
So we covered actually, funnily enough, it used to be one of my halls of residence, Liverpool at Lime Street Halls, 20 years ago with student digs. And this year, my colleague Nathan Hooper, head of alternatives, converted that to a Radisson Red, and it's one of their flagship projects. And we also looked at one of the kind of the key areas that we're looking at the moment is the 1970s, 80s offices, bringing those older offices up to standards. And also
you need to do something with them.
We've got to, yeah. And I think, you know, we have seen the year start with quite a lot that, you know, people have been sitting back a bit, but we're starting to see the price point is right for acquisition. And when they've got the cost point right, they're acquiring them. And Dan also...
Then you have the money to do something.
To do something, yeah. And Dan covered off a fantastic building in the city, didn't he?
Yeah, so we would mention a number of projects that we've been working on recently. So Mark just mentioned the department store, which is actually down in Clapham Junction. And that's an old Debenhams store. Debenhams went bust. This is happening with the changing retail landscape now of how people purchase, whether they're going to department stores or doing a lot more online. So there's a need now to reconsider what the high street's like in the UK.
Yeah.
And big department stores are a classic case of looking at how you repurpose those.
And what do you do?
Well, it's challenging because they were built specifically for that reason. They're big, deep floor plans. Often they don't have great access to natural daylight because it's not about views and so on. It's all about products. So
what do you make of it?
Well, we've made offices. We've kept a degree of retail on the lower floors where there's the value for retail, and that's where it'll operate well.
Yeah.
A part of it's become gym. A big section of it has become gym, and you've got retail on the ground floor, and the basement areas are gym as well. And then the upper floors have all become office. And it's what we were just talking about is perhaps the slightly more challenging projects like that and how you convert buildings like that. It's easier to take a building that was designed in the 1980s, 90s as an office and upgraded as office. It's looking at those more challenging buildings where there's change of use. And the other one that we had talked about in the city was an old 1930s members club that has become offices. And again, you know, they're more challenging. They haven't got necessarily the floor ceiling heights you need, and you haven't got the infrastructure that would support offices. And it's how you thread that through existing buildings and repurpose them for uses that are currently valuable and required.
What is the business case to now repurpose everything? Where's the value?
Well, there's a demand for the type of uses that you're putting in. But one of the things we were just starting to touch on is the kind of political persuasion, which is driven from an ESG perspective.
Yeah, so is that a reason for...
It's a huge reason, yeah. So rather than knock buildings down because perhaps their use is no longer required, actually you're now looking at it thinking this is a very valuable asset. There's a lot of embodied carbon in these buildings. So we rework them rather than... demolish and rebuild.
And we start over
again.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing that not only in offices, but in industrial. And, we've seen a lot of clients that are looking at industrial developments rather than spending £130 a square foot. They're thinking, actually, if I can refurbish it for 50.
Yeah, that's a better. Way better.
And it lets, sure, I might be a couple of quid off the rent, but it lets, and it's, you know, I'm not spending a year getting it through planning. And, so in all sectors, we are seeing that happening.
Is it also because we are now having maybe a little bit of time in real estate because there's not many deals going on, not many new builds, so we have time to look at the assets that we have?
I don't know. I think it's just part of everything that we do now. I mean, for Dan and I, I'm a building surveyor, and with Dan's practice, refurbishing buildings and retrofitting is kind of part of our DNA. It hasn't changed for years.
Okay.
And I think it's, I think a lot of our clients now are sort of exploring more options than they ever used to.
Yeah.
Whereas before it would just be one option. But now when you buy an asset, you're looking at an asset, department store, do we change it to a hotel? Do we do student? Do we go back to department? And it's every angle is being explored. And so I think it's just, the world's become a bit more educated and it's just expected.
Yeah. So what is the building that you would like to refurbish? Do you have one in mind that you say, well, this one I would like to do as an architect?
we're looking at one in the City of London at the moment. It is an office building, but it's a building that geekily, as an architect, we've always referenced for many years because it's got a beautiful faience facade. It's called Holland House, actually.
Oh, cool.
And it was built, purpose-built for a Dutch shipping magnet.
I'm from the Netherlands.
Yeah, no, I got that. That's why I thought it would be relevant. Something gave it away. I don't know. You look at these buildings, reference them for architectural reasons, the beautiful architecture, the fantastic materials they've used to build them. And now, because of, it's a listed building in this instance, so it's never going to go anywhere, but it's great now to have the opportunity to work on a building like that. So as an architect, sometimes, you think, well, you want to put your mark on things and you want to have your piece of architecture up there, and that's all well and good. But, as Mark's suggested there, the world is moving on. People are more educated. And we're now looking at what's around us and thinking, right, how do we make the best use of this? Not just actually...
New stuff.
Yeah, adding new stuff, exactly.
Yeah, no. What else is going to bring you MIPIM?
Well...
To round it off?
A bit of cycling brought us here, because we were out in different groups, but we were down cycling on Monday.
Yeah.
Up to Coldham Meadow.
So we are going to talk about sports.
Yeah, eventually we had to get around to it.
We actually walked into the cafe when we got to Nice, and Tadej Pogačar was there. Okay. The two-time Tour de France winner. Is he world champion as well, I think?
Quite, yeah.
But it was a cold day. It was a cold day Monday. So, rest of the week, we've got a lunch at the Hollis rooftop today for about 30 clients, our 3 o'clock cocktail party, same tomorrow, and then a dinner on Thursday in the Old Town. We're entertaining about 550 clients.
Wow.
But it's a big year. It's a really big year this year. It's good. Yeah.
Cool. Well, enjoy MIPIM. Enjoy the weather.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us.
The sun is shining now.
Yeah, it is.
Come out for it.
Yeah. Thanks, Walter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the RRBF podcast. Thank you again also, Hollis, for making these episodes possible. And I hope to see you all somewhere at an international trade show. And hopefully we create a better built world together.
Bye for now.